When Maynard Webb was approached by his son Kevin to write advice letters for the founders in his investment portfolio, he couldn't have anticipated how his collection of wisdom would evolve into what Starbucks' Howard Schultz calls a book I wish I had throughout my 40-year career. Drawing from his extensive experience as a technology executive and investor, Webb's dear founder has become the entrepreneurial equivalent of a trusted mentor on speed dial. The book has gained a cult following among Silicon Valley's elite, with Mark Benioff describing it as an indispensable handbook for entrepreneurs, and Meg Whitman recommending it as bedside reading for anyone running a company. What makes this compilation particularly valuable is its situation-based approach. Rather than abstract theory, Webb addresses specific moments of truth that every founder will face, from co-founder conflicts to scaling challenges. Whether you're launching your first startup or steering a growing enterprise, this collection of hard-earned wisdom offers practical guidance for navigating the tumultuous waters of entrepreneurship. The entrepreneurial journey begins with a sobering reality check. While registering a company might take just a few hours and minimal paperwork, achieving meaningful success is extraordinarily rare. Statistics show that roughly 90% of startups fail, and among survivors, most become tweeners, companies with enough revenue to survive but insufficient scale to provide meaningful returns. Before embarking on this challenging path, Webb urges potential founders to conduct deep introspection through specific questions. Are you primarily motivated by financial gains or societal impact? Does your idea keep you awake at night with excitement? Can you maintain composure and leadership when facing months or years without salary, recognition, or certainty of success? For those who remain committed after this self-examination, the next step is full commitment with strategic boundaries. This means setting clear parameters around financial exposure, timeline milestones, and personal limitations. Secure explicit support from family members who will be affected by your journey, and consider the bridge strategy of maintaining employment while validating your concept. Webb emphasizes that half measures rarely succeed. Once committed, your startup must become your primary focus. The co-founder decision represents a critical early choice that can dramatically impact success odds. An ideal partnership creates synergistic value, where 1 + 1 = 3 through complementary skills, shared vision, and mutual trust. Webb strongly advocates selecting someone from your existing network with proven character and capabilities. Before formalizing any partnership, spend significant time working together on projects, thoroughly verify past performance through reference checks, and explicitly align on fundamental aspects like values, work styles, and long-term goals. Document clear role definitions and equity distribution early to prevent future conflicts. While solo founders maintain complete control, they often struggle with isolation, limited perspective, and the overwhelming breadth of responsibilities. Strong co-founder relationships provide crucial emotional support during difficult times, honest feedback for better decision-making, and expanded network access for resources and opportunities. Building your initial team requires a fundamental shift in recruiting approach. Rather than desperately seeking talent, position your startup as an exclusive opportunity for exceptional individuals to join a meaningful mission. Maintain continuous recruiting efforts even without immediate openings, as the best talent often appears unexpectedly. Founders should personally drive recruiting rather than delegating it entirely to others. Seek diverse perspectives and backgrounds while particularly valuing candidates with chips on their shoulders, those with deep internal drive to prove themselves rather than primarily financial motivation. Create genuine attraction through meaningful work, growth opportunities, and inclusive culture, rather than relying on superficial perks. Company culture inevitably develops, whether intentionally designed or left to chance. Webb emphasizes the importance of proactively shaping culture through clear vision and consistent modeling of desired behavior. Define your cultural framework by explicitly addressing key questions. How will you balance frugality with employee comfort? What learning and development opportunities will you provide? How will you approach work-life integration, remote work policies, and expected commitment levels? How will conflicts be resolved? Each decision reveals core values and helps establish authentic cultural foundations. However, maintain sufficient flexibility for culture to evolve naturally as your organization grows and circumstances change. When fundraising stalls, focus on strategy rather than despair. Target the right investors in small sorties of 3-5 at a time to build momentum gradually, starting with those most likely to understand your sector and stage. Remember that fundraising success hinges on momentum. Once a lead commits, others follow quickly, often within days or weeks. Set yourself up for success with adequate runway, ideally 6+ months, appropriate funding requests aligned with market comparables, and by addressing potential deal killers like regulatory concerns or technical debt up front. Take investor feedback seriously, especially when multiple VCs raise the same concerns. Be honest about your momentum. Trying to manufacture FOMO rarely works and can damage credibility. Consider Plan B options like smaller raises, strategic investors, or revenue-based financing if traditional VC proves challenging. Conversely, when everyone wants to invest, take a moment to celebrate but maintain a long-term perspective. Remember that you control the process and timeline. Don't let investor pressure rush your decisions, as choosing the right partner is crucial for long-term success. Consult trusted advisors about term sheets, focusing particularly on control provisions and pro rata rights. Research potential partners thoroughly, including speaking with their portfolio companies about board dynamics and support during tough times. Be careful about early commitments to smaller investors before securing your lead, as this can limit flexibility and complicate your cap table. Don't chase unrealistically high valuations that might create problems for future rounds. A down round can devastate team morale and recruiting. Throughout the process, be upfront and professional with all investors, even those you decline, as venture capital is a small world with long memories. Setting valuation is like predicting Super Bowl odds before the game, challenging but consequential since you'll be working with investors for years. While maximizing valuation seems attractive, an overpriced deal creates resentment with board members and can lead to misaligned expectations. Timing matters significantly. Raise from a position of strength with 18-24 months runway to avoid desperate negotiations. Market conditions dramatically impact what investors will pay, varying by sector trends, e.g. AI companies commanding higher multiples, and overall investment climate. Typically, companies give away 15-25% in each funding round, though this can vary based on stage and leverage. After raising your first round, recognize you have about 12-18 months to build a compelling business before your next raise. Maximize your investor relationships by sending short, frequent updates, monthly or quarterly, that include specific asks, key metrics, and recognition of helpful investors. These updates should be concise, data-driven, and highlight both successes and challenges. Seek introductions strategically, focusing on truly needle-moving connections rather than collecting vanity meetings. Consider building an informal board of 3-4 experienced operators for accountability and pattern recognition without the formal governance risks. These relationships should provide honest counsel as you prepare for your next funding round, helping identify blind spots and strategic opportunities. Spend money like it's your own, tracking every dollar against concrete business outcomes. While most founders are appropriately frugal, they often misspend by timing expenses poorly or misallocating resources. Common mistakes include spending too much on engineering before having product market fit, not spending enough on marketing when customer acquisition is working, hiring sales teams before the product can reliably deliver value, building administrative functions too early instead of outsourcing to specialists, splurging on impressive office space before it's necessary, and wasting time on non-critical activities, which is as valuable as capital. Always track your monthly burn rate and runway, maintaining a detailed financial model that projects at least 18 months ahead. Consider implementing zero-based budgeting, where every expense must be justified each period. Effective delegation isn't just passing tasks to others. It's a strategic process of empowering teams while maintaining quality standards. As your company scales from a handful to dozens or hundreds of employees, systematic delegation becomes the cornerstone of organizational efficiency. This requires a methodical approach. First, assessing team members' individual capabilities and motivation levels. Then, clearly articulating what success looks like through specific metrics and deliverables. Establish regular checkpoints to monitor progress. Daily stand-ups for critical projects, weekly check-ins for longer-term initiatives, and monthly reviews for strategic objectives. Remain accessible for guidance without micromanaging, and create a culture of celebration when teams achieve significant milestones. The Rossi model provides essential role clarity in decision-making processes. The responsible person, R, owns the decision and its outcome, typically one clear owner to avoid diffusion of responsibility. The approver, A, has final veto power and must sign off, usually a senior stakeholder or regulatory authority. Consulted C, individuals provide valuable input before decisions are made, such as subject matter experts or affected department heads. The informed I needs to know the outcome but doesn't participate in the decision, often including adjacent teams or external partners. This framework prevents organizational paralysis and reduces friction by establishing clear decision rights. Goal setting is both art and science in leadership. Beyond basic operational targets like hiring quotas or funding milestones, effective goals must balance ambition with achievability. Use the SMART framework: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound, but add an inspirational element. For instance, rather than saying, increase revenue by 20%, frame it as, become the market leader in our segment by growing revenue 20% through innovation in customer experience. Always connect goals to broader purpose and impact. When teams consistently achieve stretch targets, say hitting 115% of quota for 3 quarters straight, they develop a success mindset that becomes self-reinforcing. Feedback is the currency of growth in organizations. As a leader, master both giving and receiving it. When delivering feedback, use the situation behavior impact model. Describe the specific situation, detail the observed behavior, and explain the impact it had. For example, rather than saying, you're not a team player, say, in yesterday's project meeting, when you dismissed Sarah's suggestion without discussion, it discouraged others from contributing ideas. Create regular feedback loops through one-on-ones, skip-level meetings, and anonymous surveys. When seeking feedback yourself, ask specific questions like, what's one thing I could do differently in our weekly meetings to make them more effective? Supporting team members during personal challenges requires both emotional intelligence and practical action. Create a playbook for crisis support. Establish clear leave policies, arrange workload coverage, maintain confidentiality while keeping relevant stakeholders informed, and provide access to professional resources when needed. Follow up consistently. Schedule regular check-ins rather than waiting for the employee to reach out. Document your support plan to ensure consistency and demonstrate organizational commitment to employee well-being. Remember that how you handle these situations shapes your company's culture more powerfully than any mission statement. When a key employee leaves, it's natural to feel abandoned and worried. First, determine why they're leaving. Are they running from something or towards something? Assess if they're salvageable, but use additional compensation as a last resort, since money usually isn't the primary reason for leaving. Be careful not to create an entitlement culture where threatening to quit becomes a promotion strategy. Reserve heroic retention efforts for the true 1% talent. Treat departing employees with respect, celebrate their contributions, but remember to celebrate those who stay even more. Firing someone is never pleasant, but it's often necessary, especially in startups that can't afford mediocrity. Most leaders wait too long to fire underperformers, which frustrates top talent who expect management to address these issues. First, determine if they're recoverable. If so, help them improve with clear expectations and checkpoints. If not, prepare for their departure. Don't delay addressing the situation, but treat them well on the way out. Let them resign if they prefer, offer severance, and allow them input on messaging around their departure. Remember that how you handle firings affects your entire company culture. As a CEO, you make judgments constantly that impact people's careers and livelihoods. We all have unconscious cognitive biases that affect our decisions, leading us to favor what's familiar and avoid what we don't understand. Rather than avoiding decisions, build processes and transparency around decision-making. Approach decisions with wonder, asking if you have all the facts and acknowledging what you might be missing. Seek diverse opinions, especially from those likely to disagree with you. Determine if you're the right person to make each decision, as delegating provides growth opportunities for your team. Energy is palpable in a workplace. It radiates. When you're experiencing more low-energy days than high-energy days, it's up to you as the leader to set the tone. Celebrate even small wins, honor special occasions like work anniversaries and new hires, and treat setbacks as learning experiences by addressing them candidly. Personally, model enthusiasm even when it's hard, and engage with your people beyond work tasks. Ask about their families and show genuine interest. When there's good news, let the team that accomplished it deliver the message. But with bad news, the responsibility falls squarely on you as the CEO. Don't wait. Bad news doesn't age well. Stay calm, assess the severity, determine who needs to know, and consult advisors if serious. Deliver it yourself, tell the truth, own the situation, share your resolution plan, and set expectations for progress. While delivering bad news isn't fun, the pain should motivate you to improve. Feeling overwhelmed is normal, but remember, it's a momentary state that can be overcome through action. When overwhelmed, follow this 5-step plan. Slow down, ask questions, get your bearings, develop a believable plan, and take proactive action. You don't need to fix everything to overcome the feeling, just need a plan you believe in. Practical strategies include proactively managing your calendar, focusing on accomplishing the most important things rather than expecting perfection, building in weekly reflection time, and avoiding becoming a bottleneck. When facing startup failure, how you handle it matters most. Avoid rationalization and instead take responsibility for missteps. You chose the market, developed the product, and spent the cash. Get out of the gray zone of hoping for a turnaround while burning money. Determine if a pivot is possible or if it's time to let go. Treat everyone with respect throughout the process. Communicate early about troubles rather than surprising stakeholders. Take care of your customers by giving them migration options, and be generous with employees by helping them find new jobs and providing severance when possible. Resilience isn't about how many body blows you receive as a founder, but how you handle them and what you learn. When faced with setbacks, you have two choices: curl up in bed or pick yourself up and achieve what you set out to do. First, embrace how it feels and acknowledge the pain, understanding that difficult experiences ultimately make you stronger. Then go through the healing process, whether that requires professional help or personal recovery time. Don't become callous. Gain wisdom and empathy rather than an edge. True resilience expands your potential with each challenge, pushing you beyond your safe zone where excellence happens. Being CEO requires putting the entity's mission ahead of personal desires, a reality that can be a huge wake-up call. The most inspiring CEOs are those committed to changing the world by prioritizing company destiny over ego. Every great CEO should periodically self-evaluate. Am I driving the company forward or holding it back? What unique contributions am I making? Am I challenging the team appropriately? Sometimes this self-assessment may lead to the ultimate sacrifice, stepping aside for the company's success. As a founder, you need boldness, an outsized desire for greatness, and belief in your unique ideas. However, there's a fine line between confidence and cockiness. True boldness manifests when entrepreneurs can articulate their vision clearly while acknowledging potential failures and unknowns. The biggest difference between boldness and hubris lies in listening. Bold entrepreneurs value outside input even if they don't implement all advice. I understand your frustration when people fail to deliver on commitments. This behavior erodes credibility faster than almost anything else. To drive execution culture, clearly set standards, calibrate teams on what great truly means, encourage problem identification, establish clear ownership, implement regular reviews, keep teams small, and have transparent project grading. With constant demands flooding your inbox, it's challenging to focus on what truly matters. Stephen Covey's time management matrix provides the perfect framework for understanding what deserves attention. The matrix divides tasks into four quadrants: urgent and important, Q1, important but not urgent, Q2, urgent but not important, Q3, and neither urgent nor important, Q4. The magic happens in quadrant 2, where wise planning takes place. To maximize effectiveness, steal time from Q3, eliminate unnecessary meetings from Q4, delegate inconsequential tasks, schedule protected Q2 time weekly, reflect on your time allocation, and focus on big goals rather than making everyone happy. Congratulations on building a successful company. That's good. Now it's time to become great. The most inspiring teams are those constantly striving to be world-class. To achieve greatness, understand what great truly looks like by benchmarking against the best in the world rather than comparing to your past performance. Be on a constant quest to improve by asking who you admire facing similar challenges and what's truly achievable. Be clear on your opportunity and remove obstacles that stand in the way. Give your team the tools they need and implement forcing functions. Don't hold your company back by limiting growth potential. Companies are never static. They're either growing or shrinking. If you're struggling to keep up with success, congratulations. Now you must get ahead of the curve before you limit your company's trajectory. Growth introduces friction. Onboarding becomes more complex. International expansion creates new challenges, and unresolved problems compound. You must become relentlessly better and make the hard easier. Learn to be discerning about priorities as more items clamor for attention. Problems don't improve with age. They must be surfaced early and fixed fast. Being proactive rather than reactive prevents small issues from becoming major crises. To avoid nasty surprises, respect everyone's time by communicating needs early. Encourage problem identification and early warnings. Check in frequently on important matters through formal and informal channels. Pay attention to behavioral changes and communication patterns, and always conduct postmortems when problems occur to prevent recurrence. Cross-functional friction is actually a sign of successful growth. You've evolved from a cohesive small team to one large enough to have different agendas. This friction is natural. Engineers don't automatically embrace salespeople, and new functions bring new demands that can feel threatening. To transform this stress into seamless integration, get peer alignment on goals. Ensure executives have input on each other's objectives and understand priorities. Communication must be constant and reach everyone. Implement clear decision-making guidelines using models like RACI to establish who's responsible, who approves, who's consulted, and who's informed. Create systems to surface issues like weekly help requests and meaningful one-on-ones. Among the thousands of decisions you'll make, some shape the bedrock of your company. These character-defining moments include how you respond to illegal behavior, service failures, poor employee feedback, or disappointing quarterly results. These decisions become easier when your value systems are clear. While you must follow the letter of the law, your character requires living up to the spirit of the law, a higher standard. Sudden wealth brings both celebration and complexity. While money might not have been your primary motivation, managing it properly becomes crucial. Finding the right financial advisors is critical. Look for those whose interests align with yours, perhaps those paid based on your net worth growth rather than transaction fees. Wealth also introduces unexpected dynamics with family and friends. Consider establishing clear boundaries, like helping blood relatives with college or providing shared experiences rather than direct handouts, encouraging them to forge their own success. Succession planning must begin early, not when you're ready to leave. From day one, you need talent that can help achieve your company's destiny, while acknowledging the reality that 50% of hires don't work out and departures are inevitable. This requires constant balancing, grooming your current talent while exploring additional options. Always assess whether your people can scale with you. If they manage 3 people well now, can they handle 30 later? Build a strong bench of internal candidates who could step up while also knowing who the best external talent is in every key role. Creating a legacy company that transcends generations is almost impossible, but worth pursuing once you've achieved scale. Today's companies have shorter lifespans. Fortune 500 companies that once lasted 75 years now survive just 15 years on average. Legacy requires different skills and often different people than those who started or scaled your company. It's not about personal glory, but about codifying what makes your company special. Your values must be firmly established yet adaptable. You need successors ready to carry the mission forward without you, ideally improving upon it. Embrace servant leadership, putting the cause above personal agenda. Despite the statistical challenges, creating something lasting makes the difficult work worthwhile.